Our Father in heaven, the great Almighty God, we rejoice we can be gathered in your very presence as your children. We know this possible because you have first reached out to us in your grace and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have not only forgiven us our sins, we have become your children, and we can actually participate in our working of your purposes. We pray, Father, that you have the freedom to speak to us, renew our minds, and help us to deepen our worship of you, and also to know how to grow well in you, and how you desire us to work out together as your people in the expression of church life. We commit this time to your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are now considering the church in the fulfillment of God's purposes and concentrating on features, emphases in healthy church life. The subtopic for today, promote accurate, wholesome knowledge of and positive response to the truth. Promote accurate, wholesome knowledge of and positive response to the truth. In the last two messages, we noted that God and His will ought to be the primary concentration and motivation of our heart. Not only God and His will important, but must be the primary concentration and motivation of our heart. This is clear from the revelation of the scriptures. And not only that, it is on the basis of which then all other aspects of our lives can then find their proper place and expression. As Christians, we know there are different areas we need to pay attention to, but if this first primary area we do not pay sufficient attention, it's not our primary concentration, then all the other areas we will not be able to function well. And this would then mean that in healthy church life, there must be this crucial feature and emphasis, which we've seen is indeed what the scriptures has revealed that it is so. And that is, all aspects and expressions of healthy church life must promote knowledge of the perfect Almighty God and our relationship with Him and how we ought to respond to Him as revealed in the scriptures, including love for God, worship, service, consecration, commitment, fellowship, obedience, spirit of discipleship, and spiritual growth. I mentioned all aspects and expressions of healthy church life. If church life is healthy, not just some aspects, every aspect must promote the knowledge of God and our relationship with Him, and also help us to know how to respond well to Him. And not according to human thinking, intelligence, but as revealed in the scriptures. And I also emphasize that it is critical, that it's not just something that we affirm with our lips. It must be something real. So if you want to know whether church life is healthy or not, this is one major issue. Is this true? If it's not true, church life cannot be healthy. If church life is healthy, then this area will be properly emphasized, and all areas, all aspects of church life will contribute to our knowledge of God and our relationship with Him and understanding how to respond to Him. Today I want to consider with you another crucial related feature, emphasis in healthy church life. And that is, promote accurate, wholesome knowledge of and positive response to the truth. So church life needs to promote not only knowledge of the truth, but it must be accurate, wholesome knowledge of the truth. If you have a proper grasp of the truth, you will be wholesome, accurate. That's what God wants to communicate to us in the scriptures. But not just knowledge of the truth, I mentioned also positive response to the truth. You first need to know the truth, but then there must also be the positive response to the truth you come to understand. So this is crucial in healthy church life. it's also helpful to take note that if you want to promote knowledge of God, our relationship with Him, and how to respond to Him, then church life must also promote this related key area. The two are actually very closely related. You cannot properly promote knowledge of God, response to Him, if you do not at the same time promote knowledge of the truth and positive response to the truth. One important verse you can look at is what Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul tells us in this verse, the church is the pillar and support of the truth. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul says, in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Notice here, Paul says, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. You can say Paul is telling us here the purpose of his writing the epistle is how believers ought to conduct themselves in the household of God. In fact, we can say that this is a major theme in the epistles of Paul, how believers should work out their faith in the expression of church life. And then he elaborated. The household of God is the church of the living God. And he elaborated, the pillar and support of the truth. The church of the living God, very important, how to conduct oneself in the household of God, how to work out church life, body life. And then he says, the church is the pillar and support of the truth. So the promotion of truth, the support of the truth, is an important characteristic of healthy church life. For the truth to manifest properly in this world, how church life functions is very important. But we should also look at the other side of it, and that is, at the same time, the dissemination and promotion of truth is vital for the emergence and development of healthy church life. So on the one hand, church life, pillar, support the truth, but the other is, how does healthy church life emerge? How does it develop? It is through the dissemination, the promotion of the truth. Later we'll see one major aspect is preaching, teaching, for example. But it's not just preaching and teaching. In whatever form, the truth that God intends his children to understand, they need to be disseminated, then church life can emerge. How do people understand the importance of church life? How do people understand how church life ought to work out? If there isn't the dissemination of the truth in all these areas, then believers will not be properly motivated nor understand how to work out church life well. So the dissemination of the truth, very important. When church life emerges, church life develops. And when church life develops, it must continually promote the dissemination of truth, support the truth. Then as the brethren grow in their understanding of the truth, they're living out the truth, church life will continue to grow in stature, in strength. And as church life grows in strength and stature, it becomes more effective and more able to promote the truth and support the truth. So we can say that all the brethren should concentrate on knowing and live out the truth. All the time. Not just for some. And it's not just for the brethren to look to a few to proclaim the truth. God desires, and we'll see that God desires all believers, all the brethren in working out church life, all must concentrate on knowing the truth, living out the truth, because Paul says, the church of the living God is the pillar and support of the truth. It's the whole church. It's not just a few. The whole church is the pillar and support of the truth. How can you be the pillar and support of the truth if you do not know the truth? If you are not living out the truth? I've mentioned the two. Scriptural knowing in its positive sense actually includes the living it out. It's real to us. We are committed to it. Not just mental knowledge. But it's just that we need to highlight this because in actual outworking, many Christians may think they already know the truth. When the truth is not real to them, when they are not committed to it, when they are not living it out, they may think they already know the truth. So it's good to say, knowing the truth and living out the truth. So in church life, the brethren then must concentrate on knowing and living out the truth, which means you should include brethren helping one another know and live out the truth. Not just looking to a few. All should be helping one another. So an expression of church life, the meetings that we have, informal times, whatever it may be, are we helping one another to know the truth and to live out the truth? It also includes prayer support, encouragement, exhortation. Not just words, but the whole way we live out our lives. Are our lives an encouragement to one another? Helping one another to truly know, grasp the truth, and this requires spiritual insight. This knowing and living out the truth also must override doing things that pleases other people or pleasing one another. There is a place to please one another. There's a place to please other people. But it must not be at the expense of the truth. If we please one another, or we please other people in certain contexts, it must be within the framework of the truth. It must move in the direction of encouraging and promoting the reception of truth and the living out of truth. I'm mentioning a few things to make it clearer, the meaning of concentrating on knowing and living out the truth and helping one another to know the truth and the church being the pillar and support of the truth. Because it's easy for Christians to readily affirm, yes, yes, I agree with all of these things. And yet we may not realize in many different ways we are actually violating what we are talking here about here, and we are not actually living according to this truth. For example, we may want to please people, or we are afraid that if we speak the truth, we are being truthful, people will not be happy, and so we compromise the truth. And we may not be very conscious that we are violating one of the important areas of healthy church life. Likewise, it must override concern what others may think of us and how others may regard us. There are many, many other examples you can think about, but I raise some of these because these are very common things and we easily falter in these areas. Human beings, including Christians, we are often very concerned how other people regard us, what people think of us. So if we live out the truth, at times, people may not be happy with us. And this includes believers. And because of that, we compromise. We do not live out the truth. Because we know it can affect how people regard us, what people think of us. And so we conduct ourselves in a way that we become popular. People like us. They have a high regard for us. And actually, if we come before the Lord, we know that's not actually the way God wants us to live out our lives. That is not walking with God in truth. But yet we are doing that. We are not living according to the will of God. And yet we do it because we want people to view us highly, to have a good regard, good respect for us. Again, here, it's not wrong for people to have respect for us, to regard us with favor if we are walking with the Lord in truth and people appreciate us. That is correct. That is good. But it must not be a compromise of deviating from walking with the Lord in truth. And if we pause and consider, we will realize that knowing and living out the truth is closely related to knowing and living out the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God, that's what believers, we often affirm, we want to know, we want to live out the perfect will of God. That the perfect will of God will always be consistent with the truth revealed in the scriptures. So if you want to live out the perfect will of God, it will always be in the truth. It cannot be compromising the truth. God desires us to walk with Him in love and truth. This is one way of expressing a meaningful walk with God. And this is also at the heart of meaningful expression of body life, being truthful in love. Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. This is an important passage in relation to the expression of church life, body life. Now we just want to concentrate on this verse, verse 15. Paul says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth, if you look at the margin, it says, or holding to or being truthful in. Actually, in the text, it is not just speaking. It is to be truthful, being truthful. Yes, often it's expressed by speaking, telling the truth. But the thrust of it, the content here, has to do with being truthful in love. Being truthful in love. And we know that Paul makes clear to us the scriptural teaching, love edifies, love builds up, love is constructive. So in the working of church life, it's very important, love edifies, build up, but love that truly builds up must go together with truth, being truthful in love. Some people, and in fact, if we take time to have a reasonable biblical understanding of some of these major areas of truth, it will help us to understand various other areas and also how we interpret the scriptures, how we understand the scriptures. It's very common for believers to have a wrong understanding of love. They think as expression of love, whether it be for a friend, a colleague, a brother or sister in Christ, or sibling or member of the family, then you do various things for them, including many things that will make them happy, make them like you and so on, make them appreciate you. But love builds up. Is it really good for that person? We know many parents who love their children and they do many things for their children which are actually not good for them. One aspect that is very easily recognized is when you see parents pampering their children. You know, oh, that's not good. By many different ways, it's not just parent-child relationship. There are many different ways in which we may think it's out of love for this person, so I do this and that for this person. But is it really good for this person? Does it build up the person? Is it really love? Love builds up. And truth is like that. They go together. If we are living out the truth, it moves in a direction that builds up. Yes, it is true. There are those who reject the truth, so they will not be built up. The Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth. His life edifies many, but there are also those who reject him, and it will be negative for them. Likewise, expressions of love does not always mean the one at the receiving end will benefit from it. There are those who do not respond well to love. And strong, wholesome love, including love of parents for children, the children may not like it, but it's actually important for them. It moves in the direction to build them up, but they may reject it. They may rebel against it. And this is true for all areas of life and different kinds of relationship. Being truthful in love moves in the direction that builds up, but yes, it also requires positive response at the receiving end. Now, very important, how we go about it. Is it being truthful in love? That what is coming forth from our life builds up. It's in that direction. Yes, those at the receiving end need to receive it properly. Likewise in church life. Each one of us must concentrate on that, but it doesn't mean it will always be well received. But we need to persevere in that direction. And chapter 4, verse 15, yes, bear in mind the context here is the expression of body life, church life. Being truthful in love is meant to be expressed in all contexts, but it's meant to be an important feature of healthy church life. Emphasis or characteristic in healthy church life, being truthful in love. I now want to go on to say, to make this observation, that there are two related foundational bases or pillars for healthy church life. The first two messages I concentrated on God, but now I want to make this comment. There are two related foundational basis pillars in expression of healthy church life, and they reinforce each other. The first we've considered in the first two messages, in the earlier two messages, God. The second is truth. These are two related foundational bases or pillars. Any of these two areas do not go on well, you affect the other, and also the whole expression of church life. When they go on well, they reinforce each other, and they are very important for church life. In fact, we can say if these two areas are working out well, church life will be strong. This is a summary of it. I will now go on. And if we pause and consider, we will find that it's obviously so. It must be so. This is so clear in the scriptures. Can we see it clearly, be deeply impressed upon it, and also pay attention to the various implications that flow forth from it? And look to the Lord to examine our lives, our hearts. Is it consistent with these two foundational areas for healthy church life? Do we violate it? Do we neglect any of these two areas? Do we do all we can in church life to promote both of these areas? So it is not difficult for us to see. If we want to deepen our knowledge of God, our relationship with Him, we want to know how to respond to Him, then of course it is crucial for us to grow in our understanding as well as positive response to the truth. Especially the truth in relation to concerning who God is. The truth concerning how to respond to Him. The truth concerning how to deepen our relationship with Him. You may say, I love the Lord. I want to concentrate on God. I want to respond well to Him. But if you are not concentrating on the truth, and we'll see afterwards, this is very much related to the scriptures. What God has revealed in the scriptures. And even though when we look at it, it's so obvious, sad to say, it is not uncommon. Many believers may profess they love the Lord, their lives is concentrating on God, they want to honor God, to please God, but they have not paid the kind of attention to truth, the knowledge of the truth, the absorption of the truth, which must be there. If we are consistent, if we really understand what it means to concentrate on God and the will of God as primary in our lives. We can say, concentrating on the Lord and knowing the truth concerning who God is, how to respond to Him, how to deepen our relationship with Him, this is the central message of the Scriptures. This is the teaching of the Scriptures. If you ask yourself, why does God give us the Scriptures? This is one way to answer this question. Why does God give us the Scriptures? So that we can know the truth. And the truth has to do with what the Scriptures teach us. What the Scriptures teach us is what God wants to teach us. The truth that God wants to reveal to us. And what is the truth that God wants to reveal to us? We can say many things. There's so many things God has revealed in the Scriptures. So many aspects of truth. But what is the heart of it? At the heart of it, we can summarize it as the truth that will help us to know God. They will help us to know how to respond to God. The truth that will help us to know how to deepen in our relationship with God. That's at the very heart of the message of the Scriptures and why God gives us the Scriptures. On the other hand, the other side of it, we can say, to have insight into the truth and to absorb the truth well, our attitude towards God and the quality of our relationship with God is vital. That's why I say these two aspects are very closely related. We want to truly know God, we need to know the truth. Concentrate on knowing the truth. But there's the other side of it. There are some who say they're very eager to know the truth. They want to know the truth. But they have difficulty knowing the truth. Their true insight. One major reason why believers may have difficulty having insight into the truth is because their relationship with God is not good. There are problems in their relationship with God, their commitment to God, their response to God. They may say they love the Lord and so on, but there are various things amiss. So it hinders their reception of the truth. It hinders their spiritual insight into the truth. When your relationship with God is healthy, your attitude towards God is good, that is very helpful and very important in helping you to recognize the truth, spiritual insight to the truth, and to absorb the truth. That's why I mentioned the two are very closely related. So when you deepen your relationship with the Lord, it helps you to know the truth. And as you grow in your knowledge of the truth, it will help you to grow and deepen in your knowledge of God, relationship with Him, and that will in turn help you to gain further insight into the truth. And that is how it ought to be. When it doesn't work out this way, it's because something is amiss along the way. For example, as I mentioned, we say we love the Lord, we are committed to Him, but the commitment is not so deep, not so wholesome. So when God wants to teach us to reveal to us the truth, there's a cost involved, cost of discipleship, but we are not prepared to pay the price. So, that will hinder us. In our relationship with God, you will hinder us from understanding what God wants to reveal to us in the Scriptures. Our understanding of it can become twisted. For example, there are those who say they love the Lord, but they also want to project themselves. They also want to build a name for themselves. They also have the problem of covetousness, greed, and so on. So wherever there are various of these aspects in the hearts of believers, you hinder relationship with God, you hinder their reception of the truth, and not only that, how they understand the truth can become distorted. And how they understand the truth and even what God desires and the will of God can become so twisted that it helps to promote pride in their hearts and drawing popular attention and making money and so on. These are real things. So we need to be careful. Yes, it's good to affirm our love the truth, but we need to understand, is this real? Are there various aspects that are deficient? And I can assure you, all of us do have problems in these areas. It's just that some are much more serious, some are not so obvious, some are more subtle. It doesn't mean that all believers are equally unhealthy or equally healthy. But we need to know that these two areas are very important, and God wants to continually help us to purify our hearts. The meaning of our love for God, our worship of God, our commitment to Him. Likewise, our receptivity of the truth. And if we are open to God, we maintain a contrite, humble spirit. Through different situations, God will speak to us, indicate to us certain areas are deficient, and we correct ourselves and become more healthy in our relationship with God, our receptivity to the truth. But we must be humble. We mustn't think, I'm okay. Everything about my heart is okay. Then how can God teach us? Our hearts become hardened to what the Spirit of God is trying to teach us. Through all the different situations of life that we go through, there are so many things that God wants to teach us. And many of the things that God wants to teach us does relate to our heart, the purity of our heart, and also the way we know God, respond to Him, our receptivity to the truth. And all this will have a direct bearing on growth in moral and spiritual stature. And all these, of course, have a direct bearing on church life, our relationship with the brethren. And when all the brethren are healthy in all these areas, of course, church life will blossom. It cannot be otherwise. You pause, you think about it, it is very clear. This is the clear teaching of the Scriptures. So if these two major aspects are strong in church life, the whole way church life is working out, the emphasis is there, in all the various aspects we are promoting, concentrating on knowing God, our relationship with Him, how to respond well to Him, and knowing the truth in all the various areas, and especially our knowledge of God and the ways of God and how God wants us to respond to Him. If there's reality, there's a proper emphasis, then brethren are helped to move in these directions. The congregation will be strong. Strong in the Lord, strong in the truth. It cannot be otherwise, if it is real. The congregation will grow well, and this will also have a direct bearing on the congregation being in a position to fulfill the part God desires of her. You grow stronger and stronger, and more you're able to fulfill the will of God. God has His perfect will for each one of us and also for the particular congregation. Are we able to fulfill well what God desires? That is a crucial thing. And it's not just saying, I want to fulfill it well. This, we need to know the way, and this is the way. Strong in the Lord, in the truth God has revealed. And we continue to grow well. As you grow well, you grow strong. You will be in a position to fulfill the part God desires of you at a personal level, and together in church life, you will know the truth, you know the heart of God, you identify with the heart of God. And knowing the will of God, the heart of God, may not make you very popular, either with the world or even with other Christians. But all those who love the Lord, who see the truth, of course, they will rejoice with you. And this is something we need to promote as a congregation, and also all we come into contact with. And all believers in the universal church should be praying, exhorting, encouraging one another to concentrate on the Lord, on the truth in reality, exhorting and helping one another to deepen our appreciation of God, our worship of God, our love for God, our faithfulness to Him, and knowledge of the truth, absorption of the truth. This must be the primary preoccupation of all true believers. And when the congregation is growing well in this way, these two major aspects are strong, we can say this is the way towards the optimum. Helpful to bear in mind this. We never reach perfection at the personal level nor expression of church life. But we need to know the goal, the direction that the scriptures lay out for us and how to move in that direction and continually pray, exhort and help one another in that direction. If we properly appreciate this, we will never become complacent because there's a long way to go. The goal is as big, as glorious, as wonderful as the glory of God and the greatness of God and His intentions for us in Christ. God's intentions for us in Christ at a personal level and together in church life. Over the years, we've been looking at some of these areas, including in recent times. The kind of relationship between Christ and the church. The relationship between the believer and God. What does God desire? This is at the very heart of it, why God created us in His image. What's the meaning of the great potential in each believer and also the potential in the expression of body life? That is what we must concentrate upon. This world, the fallen world, and many of the difficulties and temptations and so on, is a context for us to work out these things. Yes, we need to have some idea what's going on, including what's currently going on in the world today. There's so many problems. But it's just a context for us to nurture these critical issues. Our knowledge of God, our relationship with God, and how well we are responding to His call. And when we respond well, we'll grow well, we'll be able to fulfill well the part God desires of us. On the other side of it, we can see it's also very clear. If these two key areas are weak, then the congregation will be weak. We will not grow well. We will not be able to fulfill well what the Lord desires of the congregation. Whatever may be the outward appearance of things. And human beings, including Christians, are often very affected by the outward appearance of things. That is why I preach many messages on the topic, on the heading, appearance and reality, on all the various major areas of the Christian life. And the personal, at a personal level, together in the expression or working of church life, many can be lulled into a sense that all things are well because of the outward appearance of things. But if believers are not growing well, deepening in the appreciation of God, their knowledge of God, their response to God, they are not growing in their knowledge of the truth, their absorption of the truth, their living out the truth, then church life cannot grow well. Because the well-being of believers spring forth from our relationship with God, grounded in the truth that He has revealed. That's at the very heart of the Christian faith. But now I want to go on to make this observation that I hope we can also take note of for long term. Just as what I've been saying just now, these are important truths that we need to absorb and be conscious of and be real for long term. Then, as I said, we'll move in the direction of optimum. We'll keep growing. There's a direction, a goal, and we can continue to make good progress. I now want to go on to to mention that when these two areas are working out well in the expression of church life, it will facilitate and promote other important areas. There are various important areas in church life, in healthy church life. Remember, at this time we are considering features, emphases in healthy church life. So what are the features and what church life should emphasize upon? There are various aspects. So now I'm trying to bring all this together. First, there are two primary areas, two related foundational basis pillars for healthy church life, God and truth. But now I want to go on with this observation. When these two areas are working out well in the expression of church, it will facilitate and promote other important areas in church life. It is the basis, actually, of how other areas can work out well. You facilitate and promote. Not only facilitate and promote, but also all these other important areas can then find their proper place. It's very easy to emphasize various areas in church life that are important, but in a way that's actually distorted. I will be going through a number of areas. I will be making brief comments. The main thing is to get across certain truths, but I cannot elaborate a lot. But subsequently, we'll continue to look at all these various areas, but now it's to bring them together. They relate very closely to one another. And I want to bring it across in a way, hopefully when you see, you can, they will become very obvious to you that it must be so, and that this is clearly in accordance with the revelation of the scriptures. But subsequently, we'll go on to look at in more detail the scriptural basis teaching of many of these aspects. But because over the years we have covered many of these areas, as I mentioned them, I think they can become quite obvious to you, and you'll be able to recall many verses to mind. But not only these two areas, when working out well, will facilitate, promote the other important areas, it's also helpful to bear in mind the other side of it. That's why I say it's very important to bear in mind how all these various areas, they're interrelated, just as the two primary areas, the close relationship. Likewise, these two areas, also the close relationship with the other areas. And that is, at the same time, when other important areas are working out well in church life, then they will promote and they will facilitate the two foundational areas of God and truth to work out well. If the other areas are not working out, it will affect these two areas. And this will become obvious as we go down and consider the various important areas of healthy church life. First, I will cover a number of points with you. The first point, important in healthy church life, is proper emphasis on careful interpretation and application of the truth God wants to reveal to us and teach us through the scriptures. All these years we've been emphasizing on this, and you can see it's very clear. It must be so. When God and truth, there's the proper emphasis and the proper promotion of these areas, then of course we want to pay attention to the scriptures, because the scriptures come from God. The scriptures revealed us, help us to know God, help us to know the truth. So we want to know the truth. But the scriptures is not there for us to just interpret and apply any way we want to fulfill our own inclinations. We want to pay attention to what God wants to teach us through the scriptures. Over the years, I've sought to emphasize this point, very important, and yet it's very clear, this principle, very important, but very often violated. Christians often use the scriptures to support their own thinking, understanding, inclinations. But the starting point when we read the scriptures is to try very hard to understand what is God trying to teach us through the scriptures. That's why I've emphasized, very important, the teaching of scriptures is not just referring to one verse, one passage. Yes, we need to take care how we interpret individual verses, passages, for that matter, even a single word can be very important to spend time to try to understand why that word is in that verse. But if we want to understand the truth, wholesome, accurate, which I mentioned just now, promotion of accurate, wholesome understanding of truth, and that's very important. The truth that God wants to communicate is wholesome, accurate. And if we want to know that, then we have to pay attention to what God wants to teach us through the scriptures, and it is the scriptures as a whole. The scriptures as a whole. That will help us to understand, to interpret the particular verse. When we do not bear in mind this, then it's easy to just look for various verses, words and phrases and so on to support various ideas and, for that matter, doctrinal positions. So the learning how to interpret the scriptures accurately, wholesomely, is very important. And this needs to be emphasized. Healthy church life must emphasize this, and we need to encourage one another in this direction and help one another how to go about it. Accurate, careful interpretation, and then after that, the application. How do you apply the truth revealed in the scriptures? And all this, at the heart of it, is trying to understand what God wants to teach us through the scriptures, and what does God desire of us? What is the will of God? What is in the heart of God? The ways of God? How God wants to respond to us, to respond to Him? Why did God create man? Why did God create man in His image? What is the goal? How do we accomplish that goal? We have come to see the centrality of the role of the church. But it's not just something that any of us just we prefer that, we are inclined to that, so we hold that position. No. That comes forth because it is clearly revealed in the scriptures, the centrality of the role of the church. But then having seen that, we also need to appreciate why the church functioning well is very important. Then how can the church function well? Church life, how can it function well? Again, that must be in accordance with how God desires church life to function. So if in the heart of God, the role of the church in the fulfilling of His purposes is very important, then of course we need to correspondingly pay attention to the expression of church life and how church life can function well. And then look to the Lord to understand how it ought to function well. Now, if we look at all this, it becomes very obvious that all these are very clear. It must be like that. So if in our hearts, as a starting point, we say, yes, I come to recognize God is real. He's the great Almighty God. He's the perfect God. I want to be faithful to Him. I want to fare well in God's kingdom. Then how do you go about it? It becomes obvious. We must concentrate on knowing God, the truth God has revealed, the centrality of the role of the church, how church life ought to function. All this becomes very clear. We must concentrate on these things, not because we prefer it or someone exhorts us to do that, but we come to recognize this is the scriptural position. This is a scriptural emphasis. This is a scriptural teaching. This is in accordance with revelation from the Lord. And this is something that can be considered at the objective level, so that all of us can see these things together, and that's very important. Unity of the church, the expression of church life, is a very important thing. We've considered this along the way. Ephesians, Paul wrote about what has been the heart of God before the foundation of the world, the revelation of mystery, and how to respond well to fulfill what's in the heart of God. And then in chapter 4, he talks about walking worthy of the calling. And what did he immediately go on to talk about? Unity. But what's the basis of the unity? Subsequently, I may come back to this subject. Very important. If you want to work out well, unity. But it's unity in the truth that God has revealed. Unity in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not just brethren come together, they're happy with one another, they can agree on doing various things and how to do it. That is not true unity if it is not grounded in the truth, is not according to what is the will of God. But unity is very important, yes. In the context of that, as Paul emphasizes, not only the importance of unity, and it's unity in the truth, unity in the Spirit. Diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. He went on to talk about the expression of church life and how the church can be built up in love. But how can there be unity, true unity? In the Spirit, in the truth. That is true unity. So the brethren then needs to increasingly know the Lord, the heart of God, walk according to the Spirit and knowledge of the truth. And when there is the emphasis to disseminate the truth, especially things that are important to God, then the believers in the congregation, they understand, they can unite their hearts to work out together. And it becomes very powerful, the potential. So it is not difficult to see how all these things come together and why it must be this way. As I said, it's not just believers agreeing on certain things. But coming together, exhortation, help to love God, know the Lord, committed to Him, know the truth, absorb the truth, exhorting, encouraging, upholding one another to live it out. And when we are doing that, that is what God desires. It's the most important. And this will truly rejoice the heart of God. And all this, we know, can only take place when submitted to the headship of Christ, which Paul reveals also in this passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Submitted to the headship of Christ and according to the truth that God has revealed in the scriptures and being truthful in love and all growing unto maturity in Christ. This proper emphasis and careful interpretation, application of the truth that God wants to reveal to us, teach us through the scriptures. I just want to comment a little bit here, so that hopefully it can become clearer to us. As I said, this is important. And it's not just what sounds good. You hear something, somebody shares, somebody preaches, you read, and it sounds good, or it sounds learned, or you can make various references, and it sounds convincing. And there are people who can speak in convincing ways. And there are many who are convinced, millions, can be very seriously, adversely affected by unwholesome teaching, wrong doctrines. Millions can be led astray. This is not just theoretically possible. It is happening. It has been happening throughout church history. It is very real today. And the scriptures warns us. The Lord Jesus himself warns us. The writers in the New Testament warns us. There'll be false prophets, false teachers. People can be led astray. This is something that God is very concerned about. That is why he gives us the scriptures. So it won't be somebody just stand up and say, this is the truth. God spoke to me. This is it. But there is a basis. We love the Lord. God has given us the scriptures. And there is a way to study the scriptures, to interpret the scriptures. It's not written in a strange language. It's written in human language, meant for human beings to read, to understand. But yes, be humble. there's a lot of depth in the scriptures. Many of the truths are not straightway immediately obvious. But there are also various major truths in the scriptures that are very obvious, very clear, if our hearts are in the right place. The scriptures clearly reveal to us God is a God of love. He's a God of righteousness. His omnipotence, omniscience, and so on. And many of these things are very clear. He's the perfect God. And these are very important. Likewise, what God requires of us, the moral, spiritual dimension, very important to God. And He looks at the heart, not just at our outward actions. But yes, if the heart is right, the correct conduct should follow. But the primary. So there are many things in the scriptures that are very clear. If our heart's in the right place, absorb the clear, and the not so clear will also become increasingly clear with time. And especially, healthy church life, as Paul makes clear in Ephesians chapter 4, there are also those whom God raises up for the benefit of the brethren in their working of church life. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 tells us, and He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. So God does raise up different people who can contribute in different ways, and one of the areas that's important is the preaching and teaching of the truth. But all believers are actually capable of reading the scriptures in a way that benefits them, from which, as they walk with God, they gain insight into the truth, which they can share and benefit others in the body of Christ. All of us, that's why I mentioned earlier, the emphasis, every believer must concentrate on knowing the Lord, knowing the truth, and know that they have a part. Yes, preachers and teachers can contribute their part, but there are many things the members of the body can appreciate, which when they share, others can benefit in a way that the preachers and teachers cannot contribute in that way. God places us in many different contexts, and also the way He leads us, guides us, equips us, and what we can learn from Him. And different ones of us, as we participate, as we contribute, including open worship. But it's not just during open worship. Yes, our prayer meetings, in the home fellowship groups, and other contexts. There are many different ways in which the brethren, we can contribute to one another in our appreciation of God, our appreciation of the truth. But very important, we constantly bear in mind there's at the core center, not just hearing something attractive, something that sounds good, something that sounds convincing. No. We want to be clear, is this the teaching of the scriptures? Is this really what God wants to reveal to us? And when we constantly remember that, for our own learning and also how we learn together, it becomes very important. Many can be attracted when they hear something that sounds good, that sounds convincing, or sound very learned. All this is not the criteria to what we should be attracted to. We should be attracted to appreciate those who can help us deepen our love for God, deepen our knowledge of the truth, how to derive truth from the scriptures, that we can be satisfied. This is the teaching of the scriptures, so that we can develop strong convictions grounded in the truth. Know what we believe and know why we believe what we believe. That it is what God has revealed. This is very important. Not just develop convictions because somebody says it. And the way he says it, very convincing. It sounds correct. That is not good enough. If that's the way we approach, if that's the way believers approach life, they can be led astray. And as I've mentioned, millions can be led astray. And millions have been led astray. So this is very important. What we are now considering, as I said, if we look at it carefully, it can come through to us as something very clear, very obvious. It must be like that. This is the teaching of the scriptures. But are we working out our lives at a personal level and together in church life? And is that what we look for in church life? Is this what we are working towards? We need to, if we want to respond well to God and God's calling. I think I have to pause here, stop here for today. There are various other points that I would want to go on to consider together with you. But for today, I hope we can see clearly the two related foundational bases, pillars for healthy church life and how they reinforce each other. That is our concentration on promoting knowledge of God, our relationship with Him and how we ought to respond to Him. And the other is truth. Promoting accurate, wholesome knowledge of and positive response to the truth. These two major areas, if they are strong in church life, then the congregation will be strong. If these two areas are weak, they are neglected. Even if you pay, affirm very strongly, but the reality is not that they are neglected. In many ways, violated. Seriously violated. Then the congregation will be weak. But it's a question of degree. So the more we are healthy in these two areas, strong in these two areas, the stronger will be the expression of church life. The more we'll be in a position to fulfill what God desires of us at a personal level and together in church life. And that's what we must pray and work towards for the Lord, the freedom to help us in these directions. Each one of us at a personal level and together in the expression of church life. And then we want to go on to see how these two areas, when they work out well, they'll facilitate and promote all other important areas in church life. The other is, other important areas in church life will also, if they're working out well, facilitate these two areas. For example, today we'll just consider one point. The proper emphasis, careful interpretation, application of the truth God wants to reveal to us in the scriptures. If there is a healthy emphasis on love of God, knowledge of God, love for the truth, then you will facilitate our paying attention to the scriptures and how to interpret it accurately. We'll be motivated because we want to know God more deeply. We want to know the truth is revealed to us. And this is, we are helped to see these things. So, and to know the scriptures accurately, wholesomely, it's not enough to say, I agree with it. It's not an easy thing. It requires time. It requires effort. Diligence. Are we setting us apart time to understand the scriptures? And when God raises up and grants us opportunities to learn from others, especially if they're important things, do we appreciate, do we apply diligence in the way God desires of us, so we can grasp the truth well and grow strong in the truth? But as I mentioned, it works also the other way around. When there's proper emphasis on careful interpretation, application of the truth God wants to reveal to us through the scriptures, when that emphasis is there, the brethren encourage their help to search the scriptures, study the scriptures, and constantly throughout church life, this is coming out. That's why you notice all the messages over the years, from very early years. In my preaching, I've always sought to carefully show to you the basis, how the truths are derived. Not just telling you, even if I recognize the truth, but also show you, so you can see how it's derived and you are satisfied for yourself. That is indeed the teaching of the scriptures, so you can form strong convictions for yourself. Not just because somebody says it, but it's in the scriptures. But as I said, it works also the other way around. When there's this emphasis, then brethren are paying attention to the scriptures to carefully read, absorb, and they value whatever they can learn directly or through others the truths in the scriptures, when there is that approach, then they will help them to deepen in their relationship with God. They will help them to have a good grasp of the truth. It moves in that direction. And subsequently, as I said, we look at various other important areas of church life and how they complement one another, they reinforce one another. But the two key related foundational areas, God and the truth God has revealed. I hope you'll continue to pray over and be deeply impressed, and it becomes real that that is your approach to life. That if this is real, this is true, and you do not neglect, you pay the kind of attention that God desires of you, you will grow well. It cannot be otherwise. If you concentrate a lot and your attitude is good, you deepen your knowledge of God. You are receptive to the truth, you pay attention to the truth, you grow in your knowledge of truth, you absorb the truth, you seek to live it out. Will you not grow well? Will you not deepen your relationship with God? It will be so. So let us now spend some time to prepare our hearts before we before we partake the Lord's Supper. Let us look to the Lord that He will have the freedom to speak to us, to grant us insight into the truth, to deepen our convictions on the two related foundational basis pillars for healthy church life, God and truth. And that we will concentrate on God and His will for our lives, that that will be the primary concentration, motivation of our heart, and also the promotion of accurate, wholesome knowledge of and positive response to the truth for our own lives, and also as we work out together in church life. By now, we do have some appreciation of this truth, but are we deeply impressed in such a way that the way we approach life is consistent? With how it ought to be in relation to what we are considering today. Is this what we are concentrating upon in our lives? Knowing the Lord, deepening our relationship with Him, knowing His ways, what is in His heart, seeking to identify with His heart. Is this how we exhort one another in church life? Do we pay a lot of attention to, value, accurate, wholesome knowledge of the truth and positive response to the truth we have come to recognize? As we seek to work out in church life, is it consistent with what Paul tells us, that the church is a pillar in support of the truth? Are we moving in the direction of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to worship and serve God only, to live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You have placed us in Christ, and all the potential that we are in Him. We thank You for the scriptures. We thank You for the Holy Spirit who guides us into all the truth. We thank You for church life, that we can exhort, help one another to deepen in our appreciation of God, our understanding and reception of accurate, wholesome knowledge of the truth. Father, we pray that more and more we will not only agree and affirm that all these things are correct, but that will actually be the way we live our lives. Our primary concentration, the motivation of our heart, what we are preoccupied with, what we consider as most important, on the basis of which other aspects of our life can then find their proper place and expression. We know this the way you desire us to live our lives. This is what you have sought to teach us through the scriptures, and we pray that you help us to respond well to your intentions for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you now for the Lord's Supper. We can partake together. We ask your blessings on the bread and on the cup. We ask that you will prepare our hearts so that we will not partake in an unworthy manner. That as we partake together, we will do so in faith, that we may be strengthened afresh by the life of Christ, deepen in our oneness with one another and our oneness in you and with you. We praise you, we give you thanks, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.